Daniel chapter number 6 this morning. Daniel chapter number 6. If you were here last Sunday morning, we began talking a little bit about the Lord coming to Elijah and asking him this question, "What doest thou here?" And so what we're going to do a little bit, and I believe the Lord's leading us, I don't know how long it'll be, how many weeks, this might be the last one inside the series, but we're going to look at different spots where the Bible characters have ended up at and wonder what you're doing there. There's a couple thoughts here that I'd like to kind of lay a foundation as we consider this. We're all on a journey. We looked at that last week in our Christian lives. We're in a journey from the moment we accept Christ to the day we stand before him. Even this, we consider that actually all our journeys start at birth, and someday everyone will stand before Christ. And in this journey, it's God's desire that each of us would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In his word, he says that. In his word, he says, "For God so loved the world." So he died for the world. He's not willing that any should perish. He's desiring that everyone will come to repentance. And so, and with that thought process, and we are in this journey, and inside this journey, sometime there's a moment in your life where you have to decide that you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you recognize yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, and because of your sins, you're lost and undone, you're going to spend eternity in a horrible place called hell, but you see what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, paying your sin debt for you, giving you a way to heaven. And it's by seeing yourself for who you are and seeing God for who he is and accepting Christ as your personal Savior, believing and trusting what he did and seeing our sinful state and the need for a Savior. We're all on that journey. Once we accept Christ, that journey changes and begins because we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. We have a certain purpose and reason for being here. Our desires are not just for what we want. Instead, as we just heard, you know, I was changed. I belong to the Master. I'm supposed to do what he wants me to do. And last week, we talked about Elijah and that awesome battle there on the Mount Carmel, and then how the fire came down and how he got discouraged because Jezebel hadn't changed and hadn't repented and hadn't gotten right. So he goes out. He travels as far down south as he can get. He gets underneath a tree and says, "Okay, God, go ahead and kill me. I don't want to be here anymore." And he gets discouraged, and he goes to the Mount Horeb, and he's there, and he's feeling sorry for himself. And God comes to him and says, "What doest thou here?" And my challenge to you last week was to go and consider your life and look at your life and look where you're at, look at the things you're doing, the things that you're a part of, and are you where God wants you to be? Or would God have to come to you like he came to Elijah and says, "What are you doing here?" Now, there's two different flip sides of the story. There's God coming to an individual that is not where they're supposed to be, that's going to say, "What are you doing here? You need to get some things right. I got a plan and a purpose for you," as he did with Elijah. And God provided Elijah a purpose in his life, and he told him to go anoint this king, anoint Elisha to be in your room, be the next prophet. But there's also another side of looking at it, is for people who are maybe that are living for God and doing what they're supposed to and exactly where they're supposed to be at, and then the world will look at you and say, "Well, what in the world are you doing there?" And that's where we're at this morning. And so the title of this morning's message is Daniel, How'd You Get in the Lion's Den? Daniel, how did you get into the lion's den? Daniel, as we're going to look at the story here, Daniel has done what is right. Daniel has lived for God, and somehow he ends up in a circumstance, in a situation that is beyond his control, but it is from the outside looks like he's being punished. From the outside, it looks like he's... How in the world did he end up there? You know, he's lived for God in this foreign country. He's lived for God in this evil culture. And he's gone through all these different things and gone through all these kings and all these different kingdoms. And he's always stood for God. And as far as we can tell in the Bible, we don't see him doing anything that is wrong. Now, once again, we're all sinners. None of us are not in need of a Savior. Daniel needed to put his faith and trust in God's way just like we needed to. But there's not anything really negative said about Daniel in the Bible. And he's there, and he's in the middle of a lion's den, and I think I can hear what the rest of the world is saying, and what even these princes that had Daniel thrown in the lion's den is saying, "Look, Daniel, why are you there now?" And sometimes we get that in our Christian lives. We're trying to live for God, trying to do what's right, trying to be holy, trying to, we think we're where God wants us to be. And then we end up in a bad situation, and the world around us are watching us and saying, "Okay, what are you going to do now? How in the world did you end up over there in that lion's den? How in the world did this all this happen?" And today, I'd like to look at this for just a little while. why Daniel ended up in the lion's den. And there's some different points in there that there are Christians out there that God wants to show himself strong in. There is Christians out there, and I think God desires for to show himself strong in many of our lives, and God wants to bless our lives, and God wants to use us to be able to show a lost and dying world there is a God that is that we should serve, there is a God that we love, there is a God that we care more about what he thinks than what anybody else thinks. 2 Chronicles 16:9 is one of my favorite verses. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." And so what it's saying here is that God was looking for someone. He's searching for someone he can show himself strong in. And he found someone he can show himself strong in, Daniel. And even though it may seem like Daniel is being mistreated or Daniel is being abused or Daniel is being taken advantage of, Daniel has peace. And even though the world might look around and say, "Well, what in the world are you doing in the lion's den?" God doesn't have to come to Daniel and say, "Daniel, what are you doing here?" See, Daniel, God knew where Daniel was. Daniel was doing what he was supposed to. And we're going to go from Daniel 6, go back to chapter number 1, look at chapter number 1, look at chapter number 2 a little bit, and chapter number 6, and just kind of paint a picture why Daniel was there. He was exactly where God wanted him to be. And in this story, you're going to see that the king that ends up putting him inside the lion's den, at the end of the chapter, he's praising God. Not only is he praising God, he is telling all the nations that he's in charge of, they should praise the Lord and God of Daniel. Now, how did that happen? Daniel lived a life that God could show himself strong in. That's how he ended up in the lion's den. So as we look at this series on Sunday mornings, I'm hoping the Lord lets us do a few. We're going to look at it some of the times when the Lord comes and says to a believer, "What are you doing here?" So what are you talking about? Well, you think about Abraham. He was in Egypt. God went to, "What are you doing in Egypt, Abraham?" You think about Peter sitting around the fire. You know, "Peter, why are you there sitting around the fire?" And you can think about Jonah sitting underneath that tree, and he's wishing that God would destroy Nineveh. "What are you doing underneath that?" There's times and places where they shouldn't be. David in Ziklag, you know, he's there in the Philistine territory, and David is there. He has lost his wife, his children. They've all been captured. He has men there talking about stoning. "David, how did you get there?" It's just like Elijah last week. "How in the world did you get here? I got a plan and a purpose for your life." But there's a flip side to the series. It's when the world looks at somebody and says, you know, like Paul, "What are you sitting in jail for? You live for God. Paul, why are you in the water for?" You look at different characters. "David, what are you doing out there on the battlefield against Goliath?" You know, there's different spots where it seems like that it's unfair they're there, but God uses that circumstances and does something supernatural. And what God is desiring in our lives is that we will live a life that he can bless and show himself strong so that the world around us will see, "I don't know why you were there, but I saw how God used that." So let's jump in here, Daniel chapter 6. I know that we're going to take for granted you know a little bit about the story of Daniel. And because of that, I'm hoping that most people have at least a little bit of recognition that Daniel was a Jewish boy who had been captured by the Empire of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was the leader there. He was taken some 900 miles away from his country and placed in Babylon, and they were trying to make him a Babylonian. They were trying to make him worship the Babylonian gods. They were trying to make him think like the Babylonians. They were trying to make him eat Babylonian food. They even gave him a Babylonian name. And Daniel there from that, and it is a quick lesson. He goes and he is raised up in the kingdom. He becomes an advisor to Nebuchadnezzar. And throughout the times, Daniel becomes second in charge in some different nations. Babylon is taken over. And then after taking over, he's with a new kingdom. And he's lifted up in this kingdom too. He is a Jewish boy. Pretty much was a prisoner, a slave, that God has raised up to being second in charge of the nation. And here in Daniel chapter number 6, the king likes Daniel. Let's go ahead and we'll start here in verse number 1. Daniel 6, verse number 1. "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage." So there's a large empire that's here. Most of the known world is under this empire. And the emperor has put three people in charge of a lot of princes that kind of takes care of everything to make sure there's not going to be any type of hurt to the empire. Verse number three, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. So Daniel not only was one of the three heads, he was actually preferred above the other two. And look at the reason, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm, making him like second in charge of the whole nation. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither were there any error or fault found in him. So give you a little overview here. He's there. He's part of this great empire. The king likes Daniel. The king likes Daniel more than the other ones because of his excellent spirit. He wants to lift him up. All the other princes and presidents see this. They know this. So they go out and they follow Daniel. They try to figure out where Daniel is weak at, where Daniel's faults are at, where he's against the kingdom at, all those different things. And they could not find any. And there was only one thing they could make an accusation about, and that's found in verse number 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So the only thing they could find that would be a detriment or a bad thing for Daniel is the way he worshiped and served his God. For sake of time, we're not going to go through all the next verses, but we're going to skip ahead. But I'll tell you what's going to be happening here. The princes and the presidents come up with this idea. Let's go ahead and tell the emperor that no one should bow down and no one should worship anyone but him for 30 days. And why did they do that? Because they had been watching Daniel. They knew that Daniel would go each and every day, three times a day, and he would bow down and he would pray towards Jerusalem to the God of heaven. And if Daniel was not going to stop doing that, then he would be punished. The king didn't realize what the princes and the presidents were doing. And so he signs it into a law that anyone who worships or prays to anyone else but to the emperor was going to be thrown into the lion's den. Let's go in verse number 13, all the way down verse number 13. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children in the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He realized he had been tricked. He realized the reason why these guys had made this law happen and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. So the foundation of the message is Daniel's there in the lions, and what did Daniel do to deserve to be there? It says that he followed God faithfully and continually. He also, in verse number 5, they could find no fault or occasion to give him a bad mark, no errors. He was a man who was humble. He also was a man who was right. So how did he end up in there? Why did he have to be there? And like I said, the world's looking at it. These princes, these presidents, they're looking at him and say, what in the world are you going through so much difficulties, and why are you going through so much hard times? I'd like to spend a little bit of time looking at Daniel. What are you doing in the lion's den? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know you laid a message on my heart, and Lord, I pray it gets across the way that you want it to. Lord, I desire that you give me the words that you once said, and specifically the words that are going to be a help and blessing to those that are here. Lord, we are all on this journey. Sometimes things are easy and good. Sometimes things are hard and tough. And we look up, we're in a spot that it seems like it's not fair that we're there. Lord, we don't always understand, but we do believe that you can work all things together for good. And Lord, even though the world might say, well, look what all the things you're going through, help us to stay strong in our faith and stand strong in the things that we know are to be true. And Lord, I pray you help us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So why is he in the lion's den? Let's go back to Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1, there's three different things I see in the stories as found in chapters 1 through 6. Sake of time, we're not going to actually develop all this. We've preached on Daniel a number of years ago on Wednesday nights, and usually once a year, maybe once every other year, we'll talk have a message about Daniel just because it is so pertinent for us today. You know, how is it pertinent? Well, you think about it, Daniel is living for God in a very, very corrupt area. He's living for God in an ungodly culture. To go back to feed, to help us understand this, I want you to remember this, that Daniel was 900 miles away. He was serving the Lord in the Judah nation. Nebuchadnezzar comes, and Nebuchadnezzar destroys the city. Not only does Nebuchadnezzar destroy the city, he kills most of the people that are there. So it would not be too unfair to say that Daniel is being taken 900 miles away, and over here, Daniel made a decision. Over here in Judah, Daniel had purpose in his heart. He had decided in his heart, I'm going to believe and trust in the one true God. Now, he did that amongst a bunch of other people who did not always serve God. Judah was being destroyed. Judah was being challenged. Judah was being punished because they had left serving the one true God. But Daniel here, maybe by the influence of his father, grandfather, priest, we do not know, but we know someone taught Daniel truth. Someone taught Daniel the laws of God. Someone taught Daniel what he should be doing. Nebuchadnezzar comes and he takes the best and the brightest of all these Judahs, all these Israelites, and takes them 900 miles, over 900 miles away to Babylon, and says, you know what? We're going to make you something special here. We're going to give you a new diet. We're going to give you a new name. We're going to give you a new God. We're going to do all these different things. We're going to make you into Babylonians. We're going to make you into princes. We're going to make you into eunuchs. You're going to have a special and important job, more than you would ever had over there in Israel. Now, probably many of the people that were captives that did not serve God like Daniel and like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, they probably thought this was good. They probably thought it was a wonderful thing. But Daniel chooses to take a stand. So the first reason why we see Daniel in the lion's den is because he purposed in his heart. Look what it says in verse number 8. I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but it's a key and a purpose that we can learn that spiritual disciplines are so key in our journey. Spiritual disciplines are such a key in our journey. Look what it says in verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, and nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel knew that the king's drink and the king's meat would go against the laws that he had learned about the one true God, God Jehovah. The one true God, the God of the universe. So he understood, even though he has been taken away from his area and put in a brand new area, he has brand new authority, he has brand new purposes, he has brand new opportunities, and he has a brand new location. And inside of this, he is saying, you can honestly, he can know for himself, because he may have even watched his parents or his family be killed. He may have known that his grandparents and his priests and his temple, all that is gone. He will never have the opportunity to go back. He will never have an opportunity to see these people who influenced him for God. He has now been taken away from this and placed in a very different area, a very different culture, a very different purpose in life. And he's saying, here you are, Daniel. This is where you're at now. You are no longer that Jewish boy. Instead, you are now a Babylonian. But Daniel said he purposed in his heart he was not going to let his change of circumstances, his change of place, his change of authority, he was not going to let any of that stop him from serving and obeying the one true God. He purposed in his heart. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? If you really, truly want to end up where God wants you to be, whether it's at Mount Carmel calling fire down from heaven, or in the lion's den with Daniel, whether it's in the high parts or the low parts, if you really truly want to be where God wants you to be, you're going to have to purpose in your heart. You're going to have to be disciplined in doing the things of God. You're going to have to say, no matter what the opportunity is, no matter what the location is, no matter what the authority is, I'm going to serve God and God alone. And I want you to think about it. And I began thinking about some different things, and it's easy to serve God when things are going well. It's easy to give when you're financially stable. But what Daniel is saying here, whether good times or bad times, I'm going to serve the Lord. It's easy to serve God out of necessity. You know, I depend on God. I have to have God. We see people who get sick or a loved one that gets sick and they begin to cry out to God and say, God, you, I'll do anything, whatever. It's, you know, that's why you have to serve God. The question is, are we going to serve God? Are we going to have purpose in our heart? Are we going to be spiritually disciplined when things are going well? When you have a need of a spiritual, when you have the need that God's going to meet your bills or you're not going to have the money to pay the bills and you're begging God, God, please show me, give me the finances I need. You know, God's important. God's necessary. But when things are going well, do we still believe God is just as important? God is just as necessary. See, what I'm saying is Daniel was serving God over here because his parents probably told him he should. His grandparents probably told him he should. He probably had a priest that he was friends with, people that said, it's okay to serve God. It's normal. It's natural to be on here and have this persona. But he is given over here and he is being told in a whole different location with a different authority that's not saying, hey, I want you to obey God. I want you to listen to God. He's got authority. He says, forget your God. He's looking at a different opportunity. Over there, he wouldn't want to disappoint his parents. He wouldn't want to disappoint his priest. Over there, everybody would think it would be odd if he went and did something against God. Over here, he's taking a stand and saying, hey, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to serve God. We think about it, and we like to pick on teenagers and young people because they're younger. It's easier to pick on them than pick on us, but you think about it. Sometimes, you know, certain kids, they grow up in a good home, and they do things that are right, always faithful to church, wouldn't touch this, wouldn't do that, wouldn't listen to that, wouldn't watch this. You got all these things, and they're in their house, and then at 19, they turn around, and they begin to, because they have a new opportunity, they have a new authority, and many times they have a new location, just like Daniel. And because they hadn't purpose in their heart that they weren't going to let the things of this world defile themselves, they began doing the things that they would not do over at home. They would not do it because they didn't have the opportunity. They would not do it because they now have a different authority. No longer are they under their parents' authority. Now they're out of the house. Now they have new opportunities. They have new authority. They have a new place. And they start living like the world and acting like the world and doing the things of the world. That is the example that we're giving here. Daniel had to say at some point in time in his life, I'm going to purpose in my heart. I'm going to live for God even when it's hard, even when it's tough, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the opportunity is, no matter who my authority is, I'm going to obey God rather than man. That's what I'm going to do. And if we ever want to get to the point where God, we're in God's journey and in God's spot, whether it's in the lion's den, whether it's against David and Goliath in the battlefield, whatever it is that God wants us to do, we're going to have to purpose in our heart that no matter who I'm around, no matter what my opportunities are, no matter what my authorities are, I choose to live for God. But here's the thing is, how many of us really have that spiritual discipline? So many of us have a desire to want to serve the Lord, but it's a struggle to read our Bible and pray. So many of us have a desire to do what's right and live for God, and we've purposed in our heart, but when circumstances come and change, opportunities come and change, even authorities come and change, you know what happens? We change too. So I don't want you to get past this because this is the beginning of it. We need to purpose in our heart, whether at work, whether at spiritual things, physical things. Discipline is something that is difficult for many people to do. But when it comes to the spiritual things in our life, if we want to be on the journey where God wants us to be and use the way that God wants to use us, you know what's going to have to happen? We're going to have to purpose in our heart. I'm going to obey God no matter what the changes are. Now, just real quick, we'll put this in a thought here. You know, sometimes we learn and grow and understand things. And I know I've grown in my Christian life over years, and I have purpose in my heart, and there are certain things I choose to do and not to do, and I've given things over to the Lord. If we would just learn to get some convictions and some beliefs according to what the Bible says, and if the Bible says it, I'm going to believe it, and then we purpose in our heart, it doesn't matter what the opportunity comes. I'm going to be at church, even though the opportunity might be to do something what we would consider better or more fun. I think God's given me this conviction about this standard or about this belief, and no matter who is the authority that says, oh, it's okay for you to do it or not do it, I'm not going to change because I've already purposed in my heart. I don't want to defile myself with things. That's how he ended up there, because he had a purpose heart. Second thing I want you to think about, and I think it's just as important, is that he believed that God would work. This is a fantastic book. It's fascinating, the stories and all the things that happen in it. In chapter number 2, Nebuchadnezzar dreams a dream. And he wakes up, he is troubled by the dream, and he goes to all his, quote, wise people. Look what it says in verse number 2, chapter 2, verse number 2. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. So he's troubled by this dream. He calls all his wise men, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king and the Syriac of, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants a dream, and we will show thee the interpretation. He says, okay, king, you tell us a dream, we'll tell you what the interpretation is. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the things is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. So what happens here is he says, I want you to tell me the dream, and I want you to tell me the interpretation. If you don't tell me the dream and the interpretation, then I am going to kill you. Look in verse number 8. They keep on going back and forth. The Chaldeans and the wise men says that no one can do this. The interpretations they can give, but they can't tell you the dream. In verse number 7, then answer again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. Verse number 8, the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time. He's saying, I know you're going to figure it out once I tell you. But what I want you to do is to tell me beforehand so I can know that you know something supernatural. He says, because ye see the thing is gone from me. He says, if I would tell you the dream, you would make up some type of interpretation. But if you can tell me the dream and the interpretation, then I know there's something special about you. Well, he go ahead and he decrees that all the wise men and all the people that listen, verse number 2, they be put to death. Well, Daniel is in this category. He's a little bit lower down in the category. And Daniel is told that it's going to be something he's going to be put to death. Look what it says in verse number 11. And it's a rare thing that the king require. If the Chaldeans are still talking, he says, there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. And this made the king angry, for this king was angry and was very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth, and the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men. So, you know, he's going to kill the people, telling them that they're going to be losing their life. Daniel says, hey, what's going on? Why did it come so fast? And in verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Why is all this happening? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And look what it says. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. So here's the difference. All the wise men are saying, we can't do it. It's impossible to be done. Daniel goes in and Daniel says to the king, give me time and I'll make sure it happens. Why is this? See, Daniel not only purposed in his heart, Daniel actually believed that God would help him. You say, well, Pastor, we all believe that. No. We might say we believe that, but how many of us live our lives like that? Daniel believed that God would work. He was like Elijah that was willing to call fire down from heaven when he got the 850 false prophets and dumped the waters on this. He knew God was going to work. Daniel knew that God was going to work like David did when he went up against that huge giant Goliath. He had faith. He believed. He was willing to go and risk his own life. He knew that God was going to work. He understood that. He believed. It was like Micaiah we learned about a few weeks ago that told King Ahab, if you come back in peace, then God did not speak to me. It was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the same book that says, we're not careful to answer thee. They believed God. And the way that they believed God changed the way they lived their lives. They didn't just use lip service. They said, I'm going to go to the king, and I'm going to say to the king, he'll give me the interpretation. And then he goes and he prays, and him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go and pray, and he gets the answer. Look what it says in verse number 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And so later on that day, in verse 26, it says that Daniel asked for audience with the king that he was going to give him the interpretation. In verse 25, he brings Daniel up to the king in haste, Arioch does. In verse 26, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king." He goes back and reminds him, okay, king, remember this. Remember that all your soothsayers, all your sorcerers, all your wise men, none of them could do this. They all said it was impossible to be done. But look at the next few words in that next verse. I love those words. But there is a God in heaven. See, he believed that there was a God in heaven. He lived a life knowing that God could work. He understood that God could work and God could make a difference. And Daniel was in the lion's den that day. The world's looking at Daniel, "What are you doing in there?" And he's saying, "Because I believe and I trust in God. And because I believe and I trust in God, it changes the way I live my life. It changes how I do things. It changes how I think about things. It changes the opportunities that I have because I don't just believe it's me doing it and my force that is doing it. I have purpose in my heart. I'm going to believe God. And now I believe that I purpose in my heart that I was not going to let something defile me. And now I'm believing that God is going to work in my behalf." And that's what he says in verse number 28, "But there is a God in heaven." Nobody else can do this, but there is a God in heaven. And we got to remember that. We got to live our lives when we look at hard circumstances and when we look at lines and circumstances and the hardships of life. There is a God in heaven that can change things. There is a God in heaven that can make a difference. There is a God in heaven that can heal the sick, that can save the hard case, that can raise up a generation that loves God. Even though it might not seem, there is a God in heaven. And that's what he says. He doesn't take credit for himself, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions that I had upon thy bed are these. And he gives the answer. And once he gives the answer, later on, we're not going to look at it. Actually, you can go down to verse number 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and of a revealer of secrets and seeing them." He's worshipping the God of heaven. Why is he worshipping the God of heaven? It's because he purposed in his heart. And he didn't live his life just believing that there was a God. He believed that there was a God that could help inside their lives. He purposed in his heart. He says, "Whatever God wants, I'm cool with. I'm willing to do it. It's okay with me." And then he believes that there is a God that will intervene. We say we believe that there is a God, and then we live like there is not one. We say that we believe God can do all things, and then we think God needs our help. There is a God in heaven that can do the impossible. All we have to do is be faithful and obedient. Let's go back down to Daniel chapter 6. Your time is slipping away so quickly. The third thing, not only did he purpose in his heart, not only did he believe God would work, he remained faithful. He remained faithful. In verse number 16, we see Daniel's testimony before the king. He's thrown into the lion's den at this point in time. He's cast into the lion's den. And it says halfway through the verse, "Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest," that next word, "continually." He was faithful. He continually did this. He continually purposed in his heart. He continued to believe that God could work. "Service continually, he will deliver thee." Look at verse number 10 in the same chapter. "Now Daniel knew that the writing was signed." Which writing was signed? The writing that no one could pray or worship any other god but the king himself. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being open, he wasn't trying to hide it, in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What's the point here? It's the fact he continue to do the same thing. Many times when we get in trouble and we get in hardships and we get into the lion's dens of lives, we then go to God and we pray, but he's just doing the same thing he had done before time. He's doing the same thing. He had purpose in his heart. He did the same thing that caused him to believe that there was a God in heaven that could change the circumstances, and it didn't change his mind when they wrote the law out. It didn't change his mind when the king told him to do something that was wicked. The king told him he could no longer worship God. The king told him he could no longer pray to God. He still went and he did it aforetime. He was faithful. Church, there have been times in our life when we've purposed in our heart and we've wanted to be disciplined, but we stopped being faithful. There are times in our life when we had to have God intervene because we couldn't do it ourselves, and we believed that God could and God answered their prayers, but the next circumstance, we stopped being faithful. Church, are we being faithful? As he done aforetime, he served his God continually. You go and you look at those princes and those presidents. They sat there and they watched Daniel and they looked at Daniel and they kept on saying, okay, did he do this wrong? Did he do this wrong? They tried to find fault and they could find no fault. Why could they not find any fault in him? It's because he said, I'm going to be faithful. I know that God's given me something here in his word, and I'm going to be purposing in my heart to do this, and I believe God can be a difference, and now I am going to be faithful. Let's look here later on and see what happens. You know, most of you know the story, but Daniel is delivered from the lion's den. It couldn't finish the message without at least saying, you know, Daniel gets out of the lion's den. Look what it says in verse number 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. It's amazing. God sent an angel and they closed the mouth of the lions and Daniel was not hurt. And then you know what happens later on in the chapter? Look what it says in verse number 25. Then King Darius, once again the emperor of the world, wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, he worketh signs and wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So how do we conclude all this? Chapter number 2, the emperor of the world, Nebuchadnezzar at the time, is on his face worshiping God. Chapter number 6, Darius, the emperor of pretty much of the known world at the time, is on his face worshiping the true God. On both of them, they send out decrees to all their lands. Worship the one true God. Worship the God of Daniel. They're praising and declaring the glory of the one true God. And how did it all happen? How did he end up in that lion's den? He purposed in his heart. He says, I know there's some things that God has spoken to me about, and I'm just not going to change. You're non-negotiable. And even though his opportunity has changed, even though his authority has changed, even though his place had changed, he says, I've made this commitment to God. I didn't make this commitment to a church or to a pastor. I've made this commitment to God. I didn't make it to an emperor. I made this commitment to God, and I'm going to purpose in my heart, and then I'm going to believe that God can. I'm going to believe that God can actually work and that God can make a difference. I'm not just going to say it. I'm going to go to a king and say, King, give me some time. We can make this happen. I'm going to be like David and go up to Goliath and say, the Lord's going to win this battle today. I'm going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and believe that God can. He said, we're careful not to answer thee according concerning this matter. But also, he said, if God doesn't deliver me, he's still God. He chooses to do what he wants. And as we go through these journeys of life, we're going to have some Daniels and lions and circumstances. We're also going to have times when God prospers us. Like it says here, Daniel was a slave. Daniel was someone who was taken over to Babylon. And, you know, he was risen up to be second in charge of different kingdoms, third in charge of another kingdom. He was lifted up amongst all these people. Those were the good times. He said, I purposed in my heart, I'm not going to defile myself. And the lion said, purpose in my heart. When the law was written, I purpose in my heart, I'm going to still pray. I'm still going to do what's right, no matter what. So what do we learn from today? I think it's pretty obvious. Number one, have we purposed something in our heart? Has there been a time when God spoke to our heart about something that we know we're supposed to do? Number two, do we believe God? I know we believe in God, but do we believe God wants you on a certain journey, a certain pathway, a certain purpose for your life? I believe he does. And is he willing to intervene to help when needed? He sure can. And have we been faithful to it? Have we been faithful? As he did aforetime, he served God continually. Now, I considered when I was writing the message, and I was thinking from the God side, looking at to us and saying, what are you doing here? Like last week, I challenged you, consider where you're at in your Christian life. Consider where you're at physically and the things that you're doing, the things that you're serving, the family you have. And you ask this question, what are you doing here? But also, when the world looks at certain things and says, what are you doing there? We got to remember that. I think about some of those missionaries back there, and I can imagine the friends saying, you know, Krishal, what are you doing in Greenland? Jimmy Westbrook, what are you doing in Trinidad? Jason Onison, what are you doing in Papua New Guinea? Their friends, because I know a little bit about their background, and I know Chris's and Jason's a little bit, and it would be surprising to some people, and they said, I'm exactly where God wants me to be. God's called me there. Can we say that about our life? I'm doing what God wants me to do, where God wants me to be. And he's called me there. And I purpose in my heart I'm going to be faithful. I purpose in my heart that God is going to work where he wants me to work and do what he wants me to do in my life. And I'm going to remain faithful. Today, how did you end up there? And some of the circumstances are hard and tough. I've watched and I know, I hear, I see what some people that are living for God go through. And you're like, how did that happen? They purpose in their heart. They believe God can do something. If not, they would change the circumstances. They wouldn't be missionaries over there if they didn't believe that God couldn't work with those people that do not know God. There's no reason for it. Daniel wouldn't be in that lion's den unless God allowed it, because he wanted King Darius on his face before Daniel and before God and saying, there is one God and one true God. It's amazing what God can do with an individual who purposes in their heart, an individual that believes that God can work, an individual that's going to remain faithful. So what journey are you on today? You say, Pastor, did they all turn out good? No. We're talking about the apostles in Sunday school. Pretty much every single one of them were martyred for the cause of Christ. That was part of his plan. We know that there's over 100,000, 200,000 people throughout the world that's killed, martyred each year just because they say they're a Christian. Does that, you know, can you figure that out? Remember, we're on a path and a journey that God has put us on. We need a purpose in our heart, and we need to believe God can work and just remain faithful. If you're here today and do not know Christ, let me encourage you, that's where the journey begins in your Christian life. If you do not know him, you're not sure if you go to heaven or you die, let me encourage you during invitation time, come forward. As we mentioned earlier at the beginning of the message, God desires that all people would come to repentance, that all people would be saved. He sent his son, he did everything he could to give you away. Are you putting your faith and trust in what he's done for you? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with